Let me jump over here to my Right Side Way monologue, and I'll just remind you guys, this is the way we start the show every day. I just get a set of thoughts, and I decide I got to put it together. And this is something I started 3 years ago. It has been at times both a joy and a hate, but I enjoy doing this more than you could possibly imagine, and it winds up really being kind of cathartic for me. So let me just start with today and say, ask yourself why Joe Biden is staying in office, despite the fact that he is so obviously not up to it. And I know all the arguments. I know he's a prop for others. I know that he's a useful tool for somebody else's agenda. I know the whole thing about he's Obama's third term or he's fire insurance against Kamala Harris. But I'll be honest with you, there's something else that I think is not being counted in the mix here. Something else that I think is even deeper than those things. Deep down, despite his lack of cognition, I also believe that Joe Biden just needs to be in office. Needs. He personally needs to be in office because in his own soul, he would not know what to do with himself if he was not in office. Joe Biden, in my opinion, is one of those sad people who have their whole identity wrapped up in what they do, not who they are. So let me tell you a story, and then I'll get back to that point. So I've had a chance to do some traveling in my lifetime. I've been able to see some of the far corners of the globe, but it's also something that could be said about multiple layers of my family. My parents, my grandparents, my brother, they've all been some traveling folks, and as a result, I've grown up seeing some, you know, interesting things in my house. More than just souvenirs. There are things that go beyond that. They literally speak to the places or events that my family and I have taken part in. I remember growing up, and there was this special hand-carved meerschaum pipe that my grandfather brought back from Turkey, and it stayed in a special case, never allowed to touch it as a kid. Decorated ceramic elephants from Vietnam, wall clocks and oil paintings from Germany. I've got a beautiful handmade rug from Afghanistan in my study. Rifles hang on the wall from several generations of family members who brought them home from combat duty overseas. A piece of the Pentagon wall from 9/11's in a display case on my shelf. An umbrella stand that's really a tank shell from my dad's time as an armor officer is right here in the studio. All these things that you just can't pick up in a souvenir shop, and most of them have memories tied to them. Sometimes they were purchased with an actual intent to keep them. Other times they just kind of happened into our possession. And they're probably not even worth much on eBay, but they're priceless to me as far as I'm concerned. Well, one of those little strange and symbolic items that I've got under a glass case on the shelf at my law firm is something that I happened across when I was in Baghdad. It was unusual. It jumped out at me when I saw it, and I thought, well, that's going home with me. It's a cast black metal medallion. It's about 3 inches in circumference. It's not too old. Some of the imagery on it, though, makes it look like it is. On one side, there's an ancient Arabic symbol of a man playing a harp, but the imagery that caught my attention was on the other side. On the other side of the medallion is the image of the profile of the ancient Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. And superimposed over his image is the profile of the former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. When I found the medallion at a bazaar in Baghdad, it was only a few months after a tattered and bedraggled Saddam Hussein was pulled out of a dirt hole by U.S. Special Forces, just a shell of his former self. But during his reign, the hubris of Saddam knew no bounds. Statues, monuments, buildings, they were all raised up in honor of himself. His identity was everything about being in office. Saddam Hussein considered himself to be the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. It was like the ultimate in arrogance. A pride that gave him justification to declare his identity to the world and do whatever he deemed necessary because he was who he said he was. And it was clearly identified because, you know, he had the office. Well, during his reign, Saddam literally tried to repeat the feats of Nebuchadnezzar, and this was one of the reasons that Israel took his threat so seriously, because it had been Nebuchadnezzar that had destroyed Jerusalem and the temple for the first time. So whenever Nebuchadnezzar made a conquest, he used stolen wealth to build monuments to his own glory, such as the legendary Hanging Gardens of Babylon. In testimony to his grandeur, each brick in Babylon had been inscribed with Nebuchadnezzar's name. Well, not to be outdone, when Saddam Hussein pronounced himself as the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar and dreamed of restoring the Babylonian Empire to its former size and glory, he ordered the rebuilding of Babylon. Saddam actually commissioned archaeologists to restore the city and its Hanging Gardens like Nebuchadnezzar's 2,500 years earlier. And each new brick in it was inscribed, but this time inscribed with Saddam's name. That's why this medallion that I have on my shelf is so significant. He literally had medallions made that showed his face superimposed over that of Nebuchadnezzar. During the course of the digs in Babylon, too, archaeologists uncovered a plaque on the ancient city gates that proclaimed Nebuchadnezzar's greatness. So Saddam ordered stonemasons to make another plaque that matched it to hang on the other side of the gate, glorifying the greatness of Saddam. With his megalomaniacal vision in place, Saddam embarked on a campaign of terror and conquest, first in Iran, then in Kuwait. Ultimately, he dreamed of recapturing Jerusalem. So I look at that medallion on my shelf, sitting there today, as an example of what can happen if you let your identity get rooted in things of this world. And that includes, by the way, being a political leader. But I can't help forget the end of the story, or not forget the end of the story, for both Nebuchadnezzar and Saddam. Remember that Saddam was pulled out of a dirt hole, all bedraggled and unkempt, and later hanged for his crimes. Well, the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 30, it describes the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar, saying, "He was driven from mankind, he ate grass like oxen, his body was washed by the dew of heaven, until his hair grew eagles like eagles' feathers, and his nails were like birds' claws." In other words, he went crazy and wandered the wilderness. Sort of like Saddam being dragged out of a hole. Not much different. Driven into that hole, grimy and disheveled, reduced like his ancient hero to a dustbin of history. Now, I say all this to get back to my finer point, the opening point that I made, about having your identity wrapped up in what you do and not who you are. But let me first put a disclaimer on it. I'm not going to in any way try to imply that elected officials here in Alabama or in D.C. are tyrants on the order of Saddam Hussein. That's not what I'm saying. The analogy I want to make, though, is the fact that too many of our elected officials, they find their identity in their position or their office. If you've ever wondered why some people, like Biden, stay in office for so many years, you may find that it's because they have an identity crisis. They cannot even imagine life without the affirmation of the voters and the acclaim of being an elected official. It's not every one of them who stays longer than a few terms, but there are plenty. Why did Joe Biden run for president after 40 years of already being in office? Because I think he's lost without it. So why are Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi or Kay Ivey, for that matter, still in public office at such a late point in their lives? I mean, Kay Ivey's going to be in her 80s when this term ends. Richard Shelby, he was almost 90 when he stepped down. Nancy Pelosi is 83. We've watched in recent days as Joe Biden has continued to evidence his lack of capacity as he literally freezes in front of crowds, stumbles over his words, calls a lid on his day early. He's constantly protected by a crowd of serfs in the media who try to pretend that he's vigorous, but the whole world can see the emperor has no clothes. Pundits and pollsters have begun to actually call for him to step down, but he says he's still in. Why? Why is Biden staying in? Why are any of these career politicians staying in like they do? Is it because they're indispensable? Is it because nobody can do what they do? Could it be that they alone are the only ones who can accomplish what is needed because of their knowledge, seniority, or experience? Or is it really because their identity is in being in office and they have no idea what life would be like outside of public office? Let's be clear. I know experience counts. I also know that no elected official should ever let themselves, though, get to the position that who they are is because of what they do and that the world simply can't live without them. It's not. It's not that way at all. For that matter, I don't believe they should, just because of what they do and who they believe they are, that no one should be allowed to question them. Or question what they do, because to do so somehow impugns who they are. No, not at all. So yes, I grabbed that medallion and I put it on my shelf. It was a poignant reminder that the follies and the fallacies and the foibles of men are not confined to those of us who just live in the trenches and walk the streets. It's very much something that hits those in the ivory towers, maybe even more so. So a caution to every elected official. Stay humble. Be who God made you to be, but realize that what you do is not what defines who you are. And maybe, just maybe, go enjoy your grandkids. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Well, yeah, and I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's amazing when I watch people stay in office to their 90s, you know, or to their late 80s, and you think, why? You're not indispensable. It's because, in large part, I believe they would not know what to do if they weren't. I think Joe Biden would fold up and blow away if he was not in office. Then again, he might do it anyway. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.